WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Yoo-hoo! I'll make you famous.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Buenas tardes, amigos.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday night.
Who is this guy?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
The citizens of White Oaks have proclaimed this place the Devil's Den.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Oh, shit. They'll have to do it.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Next time you address me common, I will put you on your prissy little ass.
Heartbreak Mike.
I don't quite follow what you're saying.
The Omega.
And I don't keep with whores no more.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I just think he's the luckiest white eye in New Mexico.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
I knew you'd come back.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
He's the third generation female superstar, Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
WTR Sunday Night.
I'd rather drink turpentine and piss on a brush fire.
I've been high, I've been low, traveled down every single road. I've been loved, I felt pain, but it's all just a part of the game. And there's people out there get you down cause they're crying the blues. Yeah.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's going to be an interesting episode. We've got some highlights. We've got some downtime. We've got a few sobering topics to discuss, the least of which is Big Cass was fired.
I was going to say, the least of which was a sniper shot last night.
If you hadn't gotten shot in the back of the head in that last game, we would have won.
Brent knew how to take down a bottom of a tower, we would have won.
Not casting blame.
Brent.
You might not be, but he is.
Not really, no. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a different broadcast. This is WTR Sunday Night. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
So this is a thing?
But I guess it is.
This is a thing where we're sober moments. Big cast out of all things. Well, I mean.
No. We have some upsetting topics that we're going to have to address because they happened this week. And the literal least of those upsetting topics is Big Cass is no longer part of the roster.
Yeah.
Omega, you're just assuming things. You're assuming Mike didn't shed a tear. You're assuming Tim didn't shed a tear. You know?
No. He would be correct in his assumptions.
Just saying. You can't just assume things. Someone out there shed a tear. Right? They had to. Someone had to.
Colin Cassidy did.
Are we sure he even did? Anyway.
Carmella probably, sure didn't.
Probably not, because from what we've heard, that would take a little bit of empathy and human decency, and apparently you can't teach that.
At the very least, some good acting.
Intro, Tim.
And of course, the one and only... The one who butts into the intro every time. The one and only Tim Stein.
Don't be giving me grief when everybody else does it. I mean, God. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Russ Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us We're going to be talking about a little bit of this and a little bit of that, just like Omega said. Some heavy news to kick things off with, of course. Unfortunate. And it's always a sad happening when this, when something like this, takes place. But, this past week, we lost Big Van Vader. Evidently struck down by a bout of pneumonia, despite all of his other health issues.
When you've been dealing with heart issues, congestive, heart failure?
Yeah.
For the last couple of years? Heart disease? Getting pneumonia? Not a good thing.
Getting any kind of anything would be bad.
Yeah, I've learned, unfortunately, way too many times that when you have issues like that, that, yeah, you become extremely susceptible to those things and your body just can't fight them off. So while it is like, while we knew about his heart problems, we knew his doctors told him only 2 years to live. You know, to be fair, it's been about 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunate and sad, but if you subscribe to that belief, he's at least now he's out of difficulty, out of pain, and onto a better place, as it were. At least he's no longer suffering. He's, like you alluded to, heart problems and various other ailments plaguing Vader over the last several years. So, our thoughts and prayers going out to his family, of course. But in a situation like this, we prefer to think about all the good stuff that we can remember about our fallen comrade. Do you have a favorite Vader memory, Mike?
Vader's memory, oh gosh. I could think of one, New Japan. And then I could think of one WWE. My favorite one was when, and I know this is probably like 2000 something, but I remember when he returned just facing Heath Slater, and it made me mad because a lot of people didn't know who he was. But to see him still go at it, it gave me hope. To believe it or not, he is one of the best big men of the business. And without him, it probably wouldn't be a lot of us big guys that could believe that we could do things. And for that, you know, Vader bombs for life.
There you go. What about you, Omega?
God, he really is one of the best big men we ever had. He's one of the ones I can remember gravitating to earliest just because he's so imposing and such a frightening figure. Like, yeah. I love the entrance with the Mastodon helmet and the steam blowing out of it. It's like everyone loves like Road Warrior armor with all the big spikes, but it's just football gear. That looked like something out of like, you know, like medieval high adventure type villain mask. It was perfect. And then he'd get in the ring and you'd see these things that you don't want. You don't think of a 400 pounder doing, like moonsaults.
Yeah.
Pity anyone who had to take a moonsault from Vader. Granted, good enough at him that he didn't kill anybody doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty easy.
Well, Bret Hart once said that the best devastating wrestlers in the ring were the ones that protected you to the point where you didn't even feel it when they landed. And he alluded to Yokozuna as being one of the better big men to deliver the drops, because he did it with such aplomb, I guess, we'll use that word, that his opponent didn't even feel anything. And Vader was in that category for the most part. So,
he's in the category. Just don't tell him wrestling is fake, or else it's not going to be that category.
He'll do to you what Hulk Hogan did to that talk show host, Belcher.
Oh, no.
Vader. Let your head split open.
it's just for me, for a wrestler, it kind of like puts a dent on a lot of things because one of the pillars, now mind you, two of the pillars are gone. Yokozuna and now Vader, two of the best big men in the business right now. Dude, I don't know. It's hard because now it's like, holy crap, this is really a thing. And now it's like, what do we do? What do we do from here? I think now we can just say live on to his legacy and, you know, be the best big men that we can be there from my go. Standpoint.
Yeah. Mike, you said, two things, two memories of Vader. You had one was, his return to WWE facing Heath Slater. That was my pick. And the other one, you were talking about, New Japan. Well, I'm going back for my absolute favorite memory when he took on Stan Hansen in, New Japan. Stan Hansen broke his nose before the match even started with a bull rope. And then in the middle of that match, Stan Hansen accidentally poked Vader's eye out of its socket. Mid-match, Vader put his eyeball back in the socket and held it in place by keeping his eyelid closed and finished the match. The match ended up in a no decision. And, you know, those are my two big memories of Vader. But he spent time in WWE and WCW, as we all know, and the majority of people from the mid to late 90s on will probably know Vader from his runs in both of those, I don't know, call them major leagues. But when you look at what we refer to as the indie circuit, like Catch Wrestling Association, American Wrestling Association, All Japan, New Japan, places like that. Omega, back me up on this one. There are guys that we consider to be elite, air quote, indie stars, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can name who's who of guys that we absolutely love and, we're torn about seeing them in WWE today. Because we're afraid that they'd be totally ruined, but we're also disappointed we don't get to see him as often as we want to. Back in the 80s into the early mid 90s, this was Vader. He was one of the elite indie, territory wrestlers. One point in time, teaming up with Bam Bam Bigelow, winning the IWGP Tag Team Championship. They called themselves Big Bad and Dangerous. Not sure if you guys remember that or not.
No, that's going a little far back for me.
Yeah, that was like 1990, I think it was. Or close to it. No, 92, if I remember right. It was 1990 that he had his eye problem. Yeah, eye problem. Had his eye poked out. But his first run with WCW lasted from 90 to 95, and then he had another later run after that, and of course joining WWE. So here it is. A lot of people, believe it or not, think that he got his name from Star Wars. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He was not named after Darth Vader, even though he'd do the face mask and the whole thing like that. He was actually given that name by the guy who ran All Japan. What's his name? Giant Baba. Traded him to New Japan Pro Wrestling. He traded his contract to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And that's where he was given the name Big Van Vader, named after based on a warrior of the same name. In Japanese folklore, which is, you know, kind of an interesting thing. If you get into stuff like that in the historical aspect of certain things, if stuff like that interests you, definitely, Google it, look it up. But, when I heard that he had passed, one of the first things I did hit YouTube and watched a bunch of his matches. I don't know if you guys did or not.
I went to watch some matches. I went to watch some of his shoot interviews. I forgot that he's the reason Sid Vicious is still alive.
Yeah, you want to go into more depth and detail on that one?
So there's a rather famous incident where in the midst of a night of drinking, Arn Anderson decided to try and kill Sid Vicious, for lack of better descriptor.
Yep.
And stabbed him in the neck with a pair of scissors. So, coming down the stairs back, where Vader was still drinking. I can't remember who was with him.
Oh, no, this happened in the hotel that they were all staying at.
Okay, but.
Yeah, it was the hotel bar.
Yeah. So, coming in, Sid bleeding from the neck, Vader's the one who went into emergency mode, got him down, laid him still, kept his thumb over the stab wound the whole time before, you know, while ambulance got there. Good on him for thinking that quick.
Yeah.
Especially, I would assume at that weight, he might have been the only one at that point sober enough to be that quick.
Yeah. But, to this day, you can't, if you, you know, you get up, Sid Vicious on the phone for an interview, you cannot bring up the scissors incident with him to this day. And the closest I ever got was him thanking, Mr. White. And that's what he said to me. So.
I mean, it's, you know, someone tried to kill you and you almost died. You know, you probably wouldn't want to talk about it that much either.
Yeah, this is true. But even though it was something we talked about it off the air, and he says, "Yeah, please don't bring it up. I really don't want to think about it." And I said, "Yeah, don't worry about it. I heard you don't like talking about it. I wasn't even gonna do it." And he says, "Yeah, but I just, you know, I'm really grateful to Mr. White for doing what he done." So like, even though he like, I don't want to talk about it, but I'm really happy. What, you know, I'm glad he did that. So, but yeah. Apparently, he was also, he also appeared on, what is that? Oh, shit. From the 1980s, Boy Meets World.
90s, but yes.
Okay, yeah. 90s. I'm sorry. I'm getting, my, decades confused, I guess. I'm thinking about Alex Keaton for, Family Ties, as opposed to Boy Meets World. But that was like, what was that, early 90s?
I want to say mid 90s.
Okay. Yeah. So.
But yeah, he was one of those go-to wrestlers. You know, I think I saw, you know, him and Bam Bam. I think I saw in a few things on TV.
Yep. Yep. But, you know, like in person, he was just the biggest pussy cat. If you ever had a chance to meet him at like a fan, one of the fan things, he's just very soft spoken, very almost timid. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very set back, and he was always concerned about other people and stuff, you know, never hurting their feelings or anything like that. So, but something that a lot of people don't know, he actually played football in the National Football League, the NFL, for the the Los Angeles Rams. He played in Super Bowl 14. He was a offensive line and also played center for them. He only played a couple seasons. He had to retire because of a ruptured patella. And after getting surgically repaired and such, working out in the gym, he was basically he ran into a guy that suggested he looked into professional wrestling and. What was the, I can't remember the name of the gym, but, he wound up getting trained, by Brad Rangens. And, his first stint in professional wrestling was with the AWA. So, and the one thing that, you learn, with Vader is be very careful when you work with Stan Hansen. So.
I think that'd be just a general rule.
Well, yeah, you know, this is true. Not making light of anything, but just remembering, like, I've interviewed so many of these guys over the years, doing these live webcasts, and I got a chance to spend like 15 minutes talking with Vader, and he's just a really nice guy. He really was. I'm going to throw this out there as a bit of a silly question because I see it happening next year, but does he deserve to go into the Hall of Fame, Mike?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Omega?
He should have been in there already.
Yeah, I don't know why he wasn't put in there, but he's probably going to be, and he should be, next year, the big name posthumous inductee, right? That would be a travesty if this doesn't happen. So hey, WWE, make sure it happens, would you guys? Please, for the fans, for his family, just for the fact that he deserves to be in there. So with all of this talk about it, all I can say is Vader, hey, rest in peace. Final thoughts, Mike?
Best big man of the business, thank you. You were a huge pioneer, and I am honored to be a successful product from the best big man of the business.
There you go. Okay, Omega, closing thoughts.
Somewhere out there, it will always be Vader time.
That's absolutely the most fitting epitaph that we could give him. So from there, we're just going to move on to the next topic. And we all now are going to collectively feel really, really bad and sad and think about complaining on the internet because Big Cass got fired.
Oh, hey, we're back to uplifting.
Oh, wait a minute. I lied. Do you care?
This is like when the news has to run all the somber stuff and then they like throw in that little like slice of life. Oh, here's something to uplift you before we leave. That news story.
Cat's playing the piano as we go to commercial. Yeah. So, Big Cass, gets fired this past week. Vince McMahon pulling the trigger. Are you going to miss the guy, Omega?
Really?
I tried, you know.
That's the question you're going with.
I was doing my damnedest not to laugh, but I tell you this, when I asked you the question.
Am I going to miss the guy?
I was incapable of keeping a straight face. Would I miss gonorrhea? Would you? I don't know. Maybe you're and the masochistic like that. I don't know.
Okay. Unfortunately, this is, I keep saying it, and it's a bad thing. He was nothing without Enzo Amore. It's just another failed big man experiment.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking the best thing about Big Cass was Enzo, which should tell you a lot right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and the more we find out about how he was and how he's been acting, the more I wonder which of the two was worse.
Exactly. It's a tie.
Oh, God, Rock, that's terrible. Kayfabe news. Mike, how sad are you that this happened? How much sleep are you going to lose now?
Chris Jericho is Intercontinental Champion. Everything else is null and void.
This has nothing to do with Big Cass.
Exactly.
I think that was Mike's point.
When you have to have a hype man to attempt to get you over, that's a problem.
Well, I mean, Brock Lesnar's got a hype man himself. And
look what he did for him. Well, see, he wrestled. Big Cass, All he does is nothing. He talks and then he just punches and boot washes and yeah.
Well, hey, you know, Big Cass, there's only one word to describe you and I'm going to spell it out for you. F-I-R-E-D.
And that's correct spelling.
Well, I couldn't think of how to spell it incorrectly and make it like, you know, Brooklyn cool.
Well, see, this is the bad part. He didn't even get future endeavored.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right.
He just wanted his ass gone.
No, yeah. Because apparently there was a backstage fight between him and Carmella.
Well, wait a minute. Were the two of them dating and then they broke up or something, right?
Well, they broke up. Carmella actually was like, why are we fighting? And then Vince was like, wait, you're touching a female? You gotta go.
Okay, no, so he put his hands on her.
He was trying the report I read was that he was trying to get back together with her, didn't have anything of it, started grabbing her, started getting physical with it, and immediately he was done there, but it was a situation of just one incident too many. He just got done with the overseas tour where he was just a drunk the whole time.
Well, yeah, when you had Eric Rowan and the Usos had to break it up, yeah, that's a problem. Eric Rowan, he doesn't do much. Wow. Vince heard about it, and he was just like,
nice.
There's the door.
Okay, well, now, more than just a little understandable why he wasn't wished the best in his future endeavors. And see, I hadn't heard the reasoning or the story behind him getting fired, other than that he did something to piss off Vince, and Vince said basically, you know, fuck off. But
well, there's also the incident from SmackDown where he was specifically told, "No, we don't want you to beat down the dwarf," and then he proceeded to beat down the dwarf anyway.
Oh yeah, that too. But
like, anytime you go into business for yourself, you immediately have strikes on you.
Yeah, here's the thing. He was not tenured enough. He was not a big enough name. He wasn't popular enough, and he wasn't good enough to go into business for himself. A guy like Brock Lesnar can go into business for himself. As much as you love to hate the guy, generally speaking, not us specifically, but Roman Reigns is entitled to go into business for himself. You don't make a habit of it. If you got a good reason, it happens.
I mean, Brock wants to go into business for himself, you let him, because he'll eat your children.
If you don't let him, yeah. I mean, it's like that. What was the pay per view that he got dinged, if you will, by? Oh shit.
Thinking, words.
Yeah, the name is there, and I'm suffering another one of my classic blocks. You know, the Monster Among Men.
What, Braun?
Thank you, Strowman. When Strowman accidentally tagged him, and Brock went into business for himself, and gave Braun a couple of receipts.
Right.
That's going into business for yourself. It's an accepted practice, but beating up a dwarf when you were specifically told not to?
Yeah. He presents the idea. He gets told no, and then he proceeds to do it anyway.
Yeah, big mistake. It just comes across to me like the guy's ego was the more deserving of somebody who's been around for 15 years, paid his dues, and has earned his stripes. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's walking around like he's a big guy in WWE. We know by just history that typically if you're a big guy in WWE and you have Vince's favor, then you're pretty well taken care of.
Like, you're kind of insulated, let's face it.
Yeah, like even if you're like a great Kali and you have the wrestling acclimate of a great Kali, you still have this aura of protection because Vince really likes his big sweaty men, you know, for whatever reason. It's just a track record. So there's a false confidence that can come with that if you're someone like Big Cass, especially when you're being put into... Like, you just came back from injury, and your first feud is, what, Daniel Bryan?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
That's huge, being put in the ring with Daniel, let's face it.
Yeah, especially with him coming back and everyone wanting to see him, you know, feud with Nakamura, feud with AJ, you know, feud with Miz, go to Raw and feud with Balor. It's like, give us all these dream matches, and you're the one they choose for his first feud back? Like, that could lead to some ego.
Yeah. And that's the problem. Guys like him don't know how to keep their ego in check. I was just going to finish off by saying the most successful wrestlers in the business are the ones who have earned the ego but kept it in check during their rise up. And then when they do take advantage of that ego, they do it smartly.
Emphasis on the smart. And it's sad because, honestly, I kind of didn't see him as a big as a singles competitor at the time. Honestly. He needed to learn more. And I think the injury kind of held him back a lot. But,
well, know. he was supposed to be booked for this big singles push because, you know, they really want to have that big tall guy to work the ring, and they just didn't. Yeah, you're right. They didn't get the chance because he got injured so fast, and it's hard to come back from that.
Yeah, and then all he had to do was to put the cup down, busting doors, breaking windows, a whole bunch of stuff that he did. Don't drink, guys.
Yeah, you drink.
Oh yeah, that was the other incident. Got stuck in the tour bus, thought it was a rib, so he broke the door down. That's a few tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage that WWE had to pay
tens
for.
Tens of thousands? It's a WWE trailer. About 50,000.
He busted up a $50,000 trailer.
Well, no. He went to use the bathroom on the tour bus. Tour bus, the door lock broke, and he thought it was a rib. He thought someone was, like, pinning him into the room or something, so he bust down the door. So okay. There's, you know, there's a few tens of thousands to repair the door and all of that for the tour bus. And the whole trip, that means nobody could use the bathroom on the bus.
Ooh, that would be bad.
Now, the question was that his, like, can we really blame that on him?
We can absolutely blame him for going, Hulk smash.
Okay.
Instead of just saying, hey guys, the door's stuck.
Yeah. No further questions, Your Honor.
The, defense rests, does it? So, yeah, you know, Enzo and Cass, yeah, when they first debuted, I dug them because it was something fresh, something different, and they got over, and let's face it, nobody worked better on the stick than Enzo, off the cuff. And it was the perfect combination, a mouthy little guy and his big buddy to, back him up who didn't do a lot of talking. Mm-hmm. Breaking him up was a bad idea. But ultimately, it would have happened anyway because of all of the charges against Enzo that came about, or the accusations, excuse me, which is a whole other story and relates to a few other things that have happened in the last week and a half, but we're not going to get into that at the moment. But, yeah, it's just once they separated, I didn't care for either one of them.
No, like, they have a very specific little bit of magic to them, and it was completely lost when the two went apart.
Yeah.
And even then, let's be honest here. It's like, okay, as personalities, they worked together well. You know, with Enzo running his mouth and talking big, and Cass talking small but backing it up.
Yeah.
Okay, they worked as a pair that way, especially when in a tag team they can make up for each other's faults, or at the least hide it. Well, so say it.
Well, no, I was just going to ask you a question. I'll wait until you're done, because I just have a question for you.
Okay, but even then, we got sick of that double act. How many times did we come on to say Enzo and Cass had the exact same match they always have?
Mm-hmm. Enzo gets his ass handed to him, Cass makes the save, and they get the win.
that last part's debatable.
Yeah. Okay. No argument there. But when they first debuted to the main roster, did they remind you of anything specifically?
There's been a lot of big man, little man combinations that they remind me of. Kind of remind me of X-Pac and Kane.
Okay. You guys want to hear what they reminded me of? The big dog and the little yappy fucker on the cartoons.
Oh, yeah, well, that.
Hey, Spike, you want to go beat up that cat? Hey, Spike? Nah, shut up. Boom. That's what I pictured when these two came out initially, when they would come out all the time. So, yeah, no, I got a kick out of that. But it wound up getting a little bit old after a little bit. So, like you were saying. But I'm not going to miss them. I don't really care one way or the other. Mike, I'm sorry that it happened. I know how much of a... big Cass fan you are. You've got all those posters hanging up on your bedroom wall. And you got that huge one draped on the ceiling. So when you're in bed, you can stare up at him.
Nope. Wrong person. Wrong person.
Nope. Wrong guy. There you go. So at the end of the day, we don't care. See you. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Yeah. That said, everybody, we're going to be taking our first little time out of the evening here. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live simulcast on the TuneIn app for your mobile device. Download it 100% free. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen to us while you're on the go. Not just WTR Sunday Night, but all the live webcasts we have on the websites. That said, we'll be back right after this.
and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Tweet us at twitter.com/CB Radio Live. And while you're at it, tweet me, twitter.com/Lone Jobber.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella in the form of Total Bellas.
It's not about you.
Technically, it's all about me.
Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
My husband doesn't know what a quickie is.
Ew.
Listen to how sensitive he is. My husband can't have, like, 2 minutes to 5 minutes of sex because he needs to start out with making out,
yeah,
and touching.
Whatever, that's fine.
Like,
no,
it's
all fine.
The time. All the time. What? Which I love, but sometimes I'm like, no, a quickie, like, come on.
Why don't you just say, hey, dude. Penis.
No, Cameron. I'll just be like, well, I can give, I guess for guys you call it a hand job.
Yeah, so what up?
No, I do. I have them do it all the time.
Yeah, so great. Sex. That's fantastic.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
My mother is getting more than me.
It doesn't take him an hour to get off, I will tell you that.
People power!
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE.
Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
I'm Santino Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion of all the time.
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Raw Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in on a very little going on Sunday. How's the weather been in Florida the past week, Omega?
Death.
Really, really hot and dry, huh?
No, hot and humid.
Oh, okay, well, hot and humid.
If it's not raining, it is humid enough to make it look like it had been raining outside.
Fair enough. So that means that we're going to have some really, really nice big juicy oranges coming out when it's time to harvest the crops, right?
I'm not sure that's how that works.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of disappointing to me because I really love Florida oranges. Good. The juicier, the better.
Yes, so. Yes, oranges are nice.
Yeah, DC doesn't really have any good fruits.
Wow, really?
What, you got fruit in DC? And I'm not talking about the Clinton administration. I don't know where that came from.
I don't even know what that meant.
I don't know either. So what's it been like in DC the past week, Mike? Hey, congratulations to your Washington Capitals for raising the Stanley Cup. Did you partake?
I did, and I don't remember the 2 days of celebration.
Well, that's okay. Neither does Alex Ovechkin. If you'd seen any of the things going on Twitter or Facebook or in the media in general, doing handstands on the Stanley Cup, dunking your head into the bowl that is full of beer and drinking as much as you can. But, yeah, so congratulations to the Washington Capitals 2018. Woo-hoo. 2018 Stanley Cup champions. It's about time Ovi got his name on the ring. Of course, you lost your coach, Barry Trotz, because ownership is too much of a collective bunch of tightwads to pay the guy what he's worth, so he's gone to the island. That's right. He's going to be coach of the New York Islanders next season.
Oh, crap.
Bring them back to playoff glory, which is okay, because back in the 70s and 80s, they were like my third and second favorite hockey team. I was never a Washington Capitals fan, but I've always liked Ovi and Braden Holtby. Of course, Braden Holtby is a good Prairie Canadian boy, so he's got a place out in Saskatchewan, which is the province right next door to ours. To mine, rather. So I'm happy for him. But, yeah, Rock, how's Philadelphia been like?
It's time to throw more sticks into the fire as Fire on Ice continues on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That wasn't called for. You see, I didn't talk hockey with Omega because, you know, sports ball. So I talked Florida Oranges. I could have talked about the Comic-Cons that have gone on in the last month.
You were mentioning hockey. I heard hockey.
Okay, so how's Philadelphia been the last week?
I don't know. I haven't been paying attention.
Okay, that's typical. Hey, go Eagles, go!
Did you know that they won the Super Bowl this year?
I knew that. And did you know that there's a Calgary connection to the Philadelphia Eagles?
Huh? What'd you say, Tim?
Did you know there's a Calgary connection to the Philadelphia Eagles?
You mean the Super Bowl? You gotta say it right, Super Bowl champion.
The Super Bowl champion Philly Eagles. Shut up.
I did not know this, Tim. Enlighten.
One of your coaches is the father of one of our star football players.
Okay.
Just thought I'd throw that out there for shits and giggles.
You
but
have football
enough
players?
Of that.
You have football players?
What?
You have football players?
We've got a football team called the Calgary Stampeders, the Canadian Football League. Do not compare it to the American thing called the National Football League. It's two different games.
The Canadian Football?
Shut up, dumbass. Moving on. Last Monday night on WWE Raw, we saw Ronda Rousey get a little pissed off.
Little?
Just a touch. And I'll tell you, the whole thing, yeah, of course, we get it. You know, for those of you listening who don't get it, pulling that curtain back a little bit like we do every now and then, the whole thing is set up so she's not on Raw every week because she's not going to be a full-time wrestler on any kind of ongoing basis, kids. So if you're expecting to see her every Monday night, sorry to burst your bubble. They had to have this figured out. Okay, what are we going to do? I don't know. Let's suspend her. Okay, fine. Blah, 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 whatever. Script it out.
She's also still got movie commitments and things like that, too. So
yeah, there's other stuff she's got to take care of, which is perfectly fine. The whole incident that happened Monday night, Mike, what was your initial reaction to Ronda basically going ballistic?
I died of laughter when she hit Kurt Angle.
Hey, kudos to Kurt for taking that that martial arts move.
I wasn't even talking about that. She beat him with the briefcase.
But the whole Ronda snapping and going to town on Alexa and not putting up with anything from Kurt. What like yeah, sure, we get the humor of it and all this other stuff. But what's your actual reaction to it?
Well, my whole reaction was like, holy crap, she's about to beat the snot out this little girl. Run, Alexa, run. However, I really think that she did a little bit too much.
You think she went too far?
A little bit.
Well, apparently Kurt Angle agrees with it because he suspended her for 30 days. Omega, what did you think of the whole thing?
I mean, the storyline is for her to go too far. That's the point.
Yeah.
No, I got a huge kick out of it. Like, I like Ronda snapping.
Yeah.
I like when she gets in there and she smiles and she's happy to be there. And then
she doesn't talk.
And then as soon as something crosses her, it's like Ronda is equipped with the missile launch switch that has a little plastic cover on top of it just to make sure no one hits it by accident.
Yep.
And so, like, when that thing goes off, she goes off, and this was glorious. The whole time, just laying there, like, put Alexa through the table. Put Alexa through the table.
Okay, sure. Boom, right through the table. You know, it was wonderful for me. It started off stumbly, but this is what we've been treated to with Ronda Rousey since she's come into WWE. Whatever's going on, she starts off stumbly, and then it seems like everything catches a rhythm, and then it starts to really flow. And this is what I got from it. When they finally stopped the stumbly part, it got really good. And in a situation like that, you need somebody like you're trying to push Ronda to be the female equivalent of Brock, I guess. You know, Ronda Smash. This is a great way to do it.
It's a good way to do it. It's a good way to do it. It's a good way to set up feuds without it feeling, you know, without it feeling too artificial. Because, yeah, that's Alexa Bliss coming there with the briefcase and take advantage. That's very Alexa. So, yep.
With the big mouth for a little girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So all of that works.
It worked.
All that works. Good on them.
Yep. It worked really well. No, I enjoyed the segment completely. Never mind what we know about her. Taking the 30 days off to fulfill some commitments and stuff like that, and the fact that she's not a full-time roster member. Just going into storyline here, 30-day suspension for her snapping and beating up Kurt, was that warranted? Kayfabe.
Oh, let's be honest here. We've seen suspensions like this, but we've also seen them get away with far more than this without getting touched.
Yeah, this is true. But Seriously, was Alexa going through the table your favorite part of that segment?
I don't know. Kurt getting judo thrown out of nowhere was pretty good too.
Yeah, that was highly enjoyable. And, we already know Mike's favorite was the, getting smacked around with money in the bank briefcase. Ow, right, Mike?
It was all like, what are you doing? You're supposed to beat me. You're supposed to beat me. Kurt was like, yo, stop. Stop. Stop hitting me.
I don't know if you guys were watching as closely as I was, but, the actual hits from the briefcase, that did give me a chuckle.
Yeah.
I mean, my kid has hit me harder in, like with a baseball when we play catch.
Rhonda is still getting her first experience with things like foreign objects and other tropes of professional wrestling that you don't normally encounter in MMA. I don't know if you know this about the UFC. They don't let you swing steel chairs at people.
Yeah, I don't think so. I haven't seen one, but that would be interesting for them to have a hardcore match in UFC. I actually might enjoy that.
Like no holds barred, literally at a place where they do holds.
Yeah, and like as long as CM Punk is in the match, yeah, I think I'm there.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Okay. I had to do that to you, Megan. Speaking of which, did you love the swipe that Booker T gave?
That was good.
I enjoyed that. We talked about it once already, but I can't like just let it go without mentioning it because it deserves honorable mention a week later. Oh, it was fun. But so she's gone for 30 days, but is this all like the last we see of her for 30 days? What do you think?
I would think so. Like they're giving her the 30 days for very specific reasons other than, well, she's not going to be a part-timer. She's also too new to this to be a full-timer.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Like I wouldn't expect her out there every single Raw just because it's just not something she's ready for yet.
Right.
So, okay, let's give her 30 days. Maybe she's off filming and finishing up movie commitments. Entirely possible. Maybe she's putting in time at the Performance Center. We know she was she was juggling both a movie and training for WrestleMania at the same time.
Yeah.
So, I would expect to see her more often after the 30 days, but during said 30 days, no. I don't expect her to be around.
Okay, what about you, Mike? You see her popping up at least once?
We'll see. It depends. Yeah, once.
Okay, really? Interesting. Do you see her just like crashing Raw or just showing up as a member of the audience?
Probably, no.
And then crashing Raw.
Yeah, probably crashing Raw, but as a member of the audience.
Okay. I could see her. I don't think it's going to happen, but I could see her pull the Roman Reigns out. You remember when Roman got suspended? He showed up the next week, come hell or high water. His music hits and people are like, woo, because it's Roman.
I tried to forget that.
Yeah. But it still happens. So you cannot retcon the past, no matter how much George Lucas or Disney tries to. I finally saw the Blu-ray edition of Return of the Jedi. Not The Last Jedi, The Return of the Jedi.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're sorry?
Wasn't the musical number worth it?
Or Vader reprising the howling, no!
Yeah, because he wanted to be reminded of that, right?
Right before he threw the Emperor into the pit, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great moment. You wanted to be reminded of that, right?
No. No! No, don't do that, you guys. It was bad enough in Revenge. So I will never own a Blu-ray edition of any of the Star Wars movies.
See, this is one of the big reasons that, like, because Disney just put in the big offer for 20th Century Fox.
Yeah.
And people go like, oh, well, the Simpsons are going to be Disney characters now, and they'll get the rest of the Marvel licenses now. And I'm like, you fools, because 20th Century Fox is the reason we haven't gotten the theatrical cuts of Star Wars, because they still own the distribution rights to some of those movies.
Yep.
That frees up every legal hurdle. Han will shoot first, motherfucker.
Han did shoot first, motherfucker. I'm sorry, I'm a purist, I'm an originalist. There's something about the original theatrical movies. And yeah, sure, with the special effects, by today's standards, they're a little dated and, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a moment of time. It's movie history. There are some things where you want the movie the way it is, even though it dates itself, because it's part of that era and your childhood. Like Star Wars, Episode 4, they didn't call it A New Hope yet. They just called it Star Wars Episode 4. It came out, what, in, May of 1976? I want to say 76, 77?
Don't know. Wasn't there for it.
Neither one of you guys saw it originally in the theater the first time it was out. I did.
No, I had to watch the special edition that came out in theaters.
Yeah, I went back and saw the special edition. Oh god. Hilarious. The movie's just about to start and I'm just having a nice quiet conversation with my buddy that, the two of us just said, yeah, let's go see it. And so we went. We're just having a nice quiet conversation. Lady sitting beside me actually shushed me. And without thinking, it popped out. The movie's been out for 21 years. Haven't you seen it yet? Don't you know what's about to happen? It's a scroll. Shut up. Read. And without even thinking, I just popped that out. And I just kind of sort of like felt bad afterwards, but not bad enough to apologize. Nasty. But anyway. At least they won't retcon Ronda Rousey. One of the things I like about the fact that we're not going to be seeing her every Monday night, her music hitting. I love her entrance music. Joan Jett, Bad Reputation. I pop whenever I hear it. And I want to hear it, but I'm glad that I don't hear it every week. Do you know what I mean?
It keeps it special. It means she's an event.
Exactly. And as long as they do that, then I'm happy. Even though, in my opinion as a fan, and a lot of people are thinking, you know, more would be better. Nah, no, that's not true. Even if you want more, more doesn't necessarily mean good stuff. I mean, look at John Cena. We got more of him.
I mean, we talked about this with Brock. Is it? Yeah, it's kind of keeps him as a special event, a special feature, and he doesn't wear thin like the rest of the roster because he's not there all the time. But then you put a fucking championship belt on him, and now we're getting sick of it. Because that's one thing we do expect to see.
Yeah, the championship on a regular basis. But, you know, this goes back to the 80s and early 90s. You never saw the champion on regular TV. He was only ever at the house shows. And back then, house shows were the big thing. TV was there to promote the house show, and that was all TV was for. You'd get an hour of WWF, and in that hour, you would be lucky to get three matches. The entire program was nothing but promos for the upcoming house show in Poughkeepsie, or wherever they were going to be that Saturday. And once in a while, you'd have Hulk Hogan show up with that title just to talk to the camera, and that was a huge, huge deal. Sitting in your living room, you pop because there was the champ, finally. The one thing, you know, just going back to Brock here and holding the championship title, the one thing about that I do appreciate is the fact that they can actually spotlight the IC title and work on bringing it back to the prominence that it once had that we've always lamented on, right?
Mm-hmm. And it does help that it was held for so long by someone like The Miz who can carry that kind of story for the IC title.
Yeah, and of course, it wasn't a mistake that they let Ziggler win it. Relax, take it easy, don't fret. It's all part of a storyline, kids. Seth Rollins is winning it back tomorrow night, okay?
I seriously doubt that.
Yeah, shh. You gotta give him hope.
No, I'll give him Drew McIntyre.
There you go. No, the whole thing is all part of a storyline that's going to play out. You're going to appreciate it when it finally does. So don't get all bitchy, is what I'm just saying to the fans. Not you guys, but the fans. Because you guys know pretty much, for the most part, know what's what they're getting at. And
there's two storylines going on there. One is Seth couldn't beat Elias without cheating, and two, he lost the title cheating the exact way he retained the title the previous night, so he can't whine about it.
Yep. So, which is perfect, you know, like the way that they've written this storyline, and the way it seems to me like it's going to play out, I'm good with it.
I've got no issue with it. Yeah, this is one of those just sit back and see what happens storylines, which guess what? A lot of them are supposed to be that way.
Just let it play out. You'll be happy you did. That's all.
But I'm on the internet and I want to whine now.
Yeah.
I already know the booking decisions and I know they're bad.
Oh shit, that just reminds me of that promo that Triple H cut. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm going to tweet about it.
If they don't do what I want them to do, I'm going to cancel my subscription to the WWE Network. I'm going on the internet to complain. Me and my friend, or my two friends, or whatever. He had me just rolling laughing at that promo that he cut, man. Shit. But, before we move on from Ronda, Mike, any final thoughts?
Well, let's see how it goes with Miss Rousey here. Just don't shove her down my throat, WWE.
There you go. Give us just enough. That's right. Omega?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of anticipating this. I'm curious to see where they go with it and what we get from Ronda after the 30 days is up.
All right, there you go. Moving on to our next little topic conversation, Mike. You're probably just really screaming inside your skull about this one, but Sami Zayn, we're not going to see any more of him in the ring until 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, on a serious note, not making fun at this point in time, unfortunately, Sami Zayn has two different torn rotator cuff injuries. Now, rotator cuff, bad thing.
Very bad injury.
When you tear it. I mean, just having one is enough to put you on the shelf for 6 to 8 to 12 months. He's got two different ones. And I'm feeling poorly for Sami. I'm not happy with how WWE has used him because I think they could have done a better job.
That's what we talked about earlier of watching our favorite indie darlings get to the WWE and going, oh shit, now they're locked into how WWE does things. Sammy's a perfect example of that because he entered the world where you have to be 240, 250 pounds for them to take you seriously.
Exception to the rule being the exception, but unfortunately, Sami wasn't one of them.
He should be. Because he's a phenomenal worker. You know, here we talk about this down in NXT. He did outstanding things. You know, and look up any match with Cesaro. Like, literally any of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely no argument at all. So, even though it's disappointing the way WWE has decided to utilize Sami, I'm gonna miss seeing him in the ring. It's a hell of a dynamic that he and his best friend Kevin Owens have. Whether they're being best buds on screen or if they're antagonistic towards each other. There's definite chemistry there. What does this take away from Kevin Owens?
Honestly, nothing.
Yeah. No? You don't think so?
Nothing.
Okay.
I think it was just the comedy. Even though he can do the comedy on his own.
is the comedy and how good they are trying to kill each other?
The chemistry that the two of them have.
Well, yeah.
Well, when you're best friends in real life for as long as they've been, you tend to know each other inside and out.
Yeah, I mean, this all goes back to even before the, air quotes, the big indie scene, to the little tiny independents in Quebec, Canada. These guys have been friends that long. And when you've been friends that long, working with each other that long, you're going to develop a great synergy, whether you're being best buds storyline or if you're worst enemies storyline, right? So it's for me, there's going to be a bit of a void. I mean, we'll wind up in a couple of months not even thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, this time next year, Sammy makes his triumphant return. Hopefully they decide to, let him have a little bit more of his, indie circuit aggression when he comes back. I'd like to see that. What about you?
I could definitely go for a less silly Sami Zayn. Entertaining as he's been.
Yeah, don't lose the silly, but give him that edge that they took away from him.
I want the edge he had when he first came out as a heel. after interfering in Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon's match.
Yeah.
Like, I thought we would get it then, and then he turned into the sidekick.
Yeah.
Like, during that run, that's where I thought of the Looney Tunes dogs.
Okay. That's your Looney Tune dog team up. Fair enough. Everybody's got one that they can relate to those two damn mutts. But yeah. So get better quick, Sami Zayn. We're going to do our best not to forget about you while you're out.
Forget about who?
Huh? What?
What are we talking about?
Mike, do you know?
Who?
Yeah, we'll have to. I'll tell you what, let's just go back to the archive and see.
Yeah. I think I missed something there.
Have to wait until tomorrow, I think, maybe. I don't know. But, okay. Hey, Mike, what day is it today?
Rusev Day.
It's what?
Rusev Day. Wait.
Yeah. What does that mean? Birthday.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can finally talk about this because it has been burning, even though, you know. Alexander Rusev is finally a number one contender for the WWE Championship. No group matches, no special stipulation, no Hell in a Cell, no Elimination Chamber. One on one. Seeing Rusev go from the undefeated Moscow Mauler to the man that everyone cheers for because it is Rusev Day. Guys, we could possibly see him as WWE champion. Maybe. But, you know, it may not happen because, well,
glass ceiling.
Yes. But for WWE to finally say, you know what? Let's just give it to him. And to see the fact that he had to rebuild himself because after he lost the United States title the first time, they didn't know what to do with him. Talking about, let's put you in the League of Nations. Yeah, let's not. And then just trying to fit him certain places and then just like that. It's Rusev Day.
So, Omega, what do you think about Rusev being the number one contender now after the gauntlet match?
It's not the direction I would have expected. I mean, we've talked a lot about just how impactful Rusev Day has been for his career, how quickly that has elevated him.
Yeah.
You know, and all the years, like, he's shown a lot of promise over the years. He's shown that he could be up there. He just never had that thing that really elevated him. And then as soon as he did get it, it was treated as a joke for so long that I started to really worry about them kind of losing track of it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a pleasant surprise. I prefer a little bit more build up than a gauntlet match, but that's really the only complaint I can levy here.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with him actually getting into that, that main event scene. I mean, he's paid his dues. He's proven it. He and Lana have had their missteps and they've paid for it. And this is okay. You guys have paid for it. Now it's time to move on. And, at least to me, this is what I see is happening right now. But who expected Rusev Day to be as over as it has become? I mean, besides Mike, right?
Jesus Christ. It's insane.
And it's all fan-driven.
Mm-hmm.
It T-shirts really is.
And merchandise.
It was supposed to be a joke gimmick. It wasn't supposed to have any kind of credibility or support. It was just a goofy thing for Rusev to do to give him something to do. It was quick little catchphrase. It was a simple promo to cut.
You know what? Yeah, you know, we could substitute Rusev for somebody else on the WWE roster and be saying the exact same thing. You know who I'm talking about?
Huh?
It's a new day. Yes, it is. But it's the same idea. I mean, what we should do, maybe at some point in time, do a little mini all-time greatest characters the fans got over. We should be able to come up with at least 10.
Oh, you kidding? God, there's been a billion.
Currently, right now, there are three big ones in WWE that you can point out. New Day, Rusev, we talked about those two. And then the other one now, the monster among men, Braun Strowman. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, you also have to count the Yes Movement. Because like, that started getting marketed when we started getting the title Yes Movement. But yeah, that was a huge fan response to get that.
Yeah, okay. You got that. You got me on that one. The Yes Movement, not so current. But still, it would still fall into that category. I'll agree with you on that. Yeah. So. But yeah, no, I'm happy to see Rusev making strides, and when WWE actually listens to the fans, it's great. Now, if only they would listen when it comes to Roman Reigns.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, all right, I'm taking my shots. I am not in the same camp. I'm being satirical when I take my shots at Roman. You guys know that. The listeners might not, though. I don't have problems with Roman Reigns' work in the ring. The fact that he goes out and gives the fans everything he can, everything he's got, whether the fans accept it or not, depending on what city they're in and what night of the week it is, usually Monday. The only thing that I don't like is, and we've hashed this out ad infinitum, Roman talking as much on the mic as he does, I am totally against. Plus, they didn't make him, the smash through everything, pissed off monster that they should have. Instead of, he's going to just barely survive and win this match. He's just going to barely survive and win this match.
We've talked about it ad nauseum to the point where we're nauseated by mentioning it.
Yeah.
They've got something with Roman. They're just booking him so badly.
Yeah.
And it was bad enough before when they tried to make him the new Cena. And now they're trying to make him the new Daniel Bryan, which is not gonna work.
What if you try to make him, the full-time roster version of Brock Lesnar? Can you do that?
Yeah, how do you make him the new Brock?
Wait a minute, you can't, because they've already got, Braun for that. Right?
Braun is like what Big Show was supposed to be.
Yeah. If you combine Big Show with Stone Cold, you'd come up with Braun Strowman. What do you think?
I'll let you know. I'm trying to process that one.
Okay. I know it's kind of a weird imagery, and I'm sorry about planting that in your brain, but kind of like hybriding it or whatever. Mike, how do you think they should book Roman? Like the way we've been talking about.
I honestly don't know how to book Roman right now. Roman is too far gone, and to me, I'm just like, I don't know how this is going to work. The only way that he's going to be booked with cheers behind him is if Dean Ambrose miraculously gets better.
And they team the Shield back up.
Yep.
There you go.
Dean's in the Performance Center last I checked.
He's on his way back.
He's working on it.
Yep. But Omega, you were just barely touching on how you would like to see Roman get booked. Like, go ahead and elaborate on that.
Well, God, how many more times can I elaborate on this in the show? Like, the way to book him is as this silent powerhouse. Like, what he was good at, what made him popular in the Shield was he was the wrecking crew, you know, where, you know, Dean was unpredictable and Seth was quick. He was the power. So when it came time to clear the ring or bulldoze somebody, that's when he came in. And that's what he needs to do. He needs a mouthpiece. He needs a hype man. He needs somebody who can do the talking, cut the promos, and build him up as a big deal. And all he needs to worry about is going in there and demolishing things.
Now, right now in WWE, who's he got a program with at the moment? Who's he working with?
Well, the last one was Jinder.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted that.
And that was the last, up to this point, that was the last program they had for Roman. I mean, like, the next night he came out whining about being the uncrowned, Universal Champion and getting screwed, right? Whoever, this is what I would do. Whoever he's about to face next, have that guy doing the in-ring interview promo. Roman's music hits. Roman walks out. Roman says nothing. Roman walks up. Roman decks his future opponent. Roman leaves. Will that not make you wonder, like, what the fuck's going on here with Roman?
Not really.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Rock. Shut up.
Because that's not Roman.
Like, this is what we're talking about.
I know. It's
okay. What they're doing with Roman right now is not what Roman should be. What I just said is what should be Roman.
Yeah, but I do find it hard to buy. That's me. Because you see other people doing it better than what he's doing. That's all.
I think if they did it right, it would they'd be able to get it over. But let's face it, it's going to be a long time before we consider Roman to be one of the all-time greatest.
That is a segue to the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
You can follow.
No. Before you continue, seriously, Cat Mob, you need to pick up on cues. Go ahead.
The thing was muted, so I was buying myself a second. That's what I was doing. Because I lowered it when I brought you back in. I was like, oh yeah, I gotta bring you back up. So that was me. You know. Anyway, Taz versus Superstar Billy Graham. Oh my god.
God, it sucks. Those are two completely different types.
They are.
Diametrically opposed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Taz's heel run. I love the idea of creating a, literally, the fuck the world championship. That was hilarious. It's hard. God, see, Taz's heel runs, though, especially, you know, mostly in ECW are noteworthy. He was run as a silent kind of powerhouse here in the WWE, just like we were talking about. And, you know, that worked for him. Worked out well. It's hard for me to even remember him as a bad guy because I remember him as a color commentator. I remember him as the one person that get me to like Michael Cole commentary. Billy Graham is just, he is a classic heel, like in the sense of I can't imagine him any other way. He just works so well for it.
Superstar?
Superstar.
Mike?
Superstar.
Elaborate?
Pretty much Omega said just about the same stuff that I was getting ready to say. Granted, you know, the run with Taz, ECW, holy crap. And then he kept that for such a long time. But Billy Graham? I'm sorry. Superstar. Billy ran.
Moves on. Tim, you want to put it on a vote?
Yeah, you know, Taz is Taz. Taz will always be Taz. But going back, superstar Billy Graham gave rise to Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, Jesse the Body Ventura, even Ric Flair, among many others. He was the prototype. He was the quintessential genesis for those characters. And superstar Billy Graham didn't give a damn about you.
Billy Graham moves on. Mark Henry Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Mike.
McMahon. Self-explanatory. Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Hall of Pain versus the Kiss My Ass Club. Vince McMahon.
Omega.
Yeah, this is another one who I feel is better defined by his face runs. Hall of Pain is well and good. The false retirement speech, that got everyone fooled. But you know what? It just isn't ever going to be more memorable than Sexual Chocolate. You know, his runs as... It's just not. You know, I think a mark of a good heel should be that you remember the heel run so well. Like, I can't really say that for Mark Henry, and it's Vince McMahon. He's the perfect foil for the Attitude Era. He's the right type of villain at the right type of time for the culture in America, very anti-establishment. He's the perfect foil for Steve Austin, and it wouldn't have been the Attitude Era without him.
Tim?
This is a case of art imitating life. Vince McMahon did a real life heel thing that gave rise to Vincent Kennedy McMahon, the character, whose ramifications and repercussions, 21 years later is still, resonating as loudly as it is.
Oh yeah.
It's no contest.
Like, we're still dealing with the authority figure storylines because of him.
Exactly. So I choose Mark Henry.
Vincent Kennedy.
I'm kidding.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon moves on. Up next, Jesse the Body Ventura versus Jerry the King Lawler.
Puppies.
Tim.
Jerry the King, when he was heel, he was great heel. He really was. But he's more known, especially today's audience, as the guy who would provide color commentary for Jim Ross, and as a result, known for calling women's breasts puppies. He's more known for that than for being a heel wrestler. For people like me, he's known as being the defender of Memphis wrestling against Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a heel thing. That was Jerry being a superhero, not just defending Memphis wrestling, but all Southerners against Mr. Hollywood. You put him up against who? Exactly. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you, McMahon, right? Jesse the Body bit. That's all there is to it.
So one for the body. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it is difficult, but I just used reasoning to work against someone who's better known as, a face now versus the heel run. Jerry is such a good heel when he's allowed to heel. Like, especially, even when he was still working commentary, he's still an asshole. Okay, he was sexist, he was offensive, he was rude, you know? He knew what to say to get the crowd fired up, and he's one of the best. He's one of the better improvisational guys on the stick when he's working with the crowd. He's extremely good as a bad guy, but his career is not being the villain. Like Tim said, I remember him as the hero foil to Andy Kaufman. I remember him best as as the face commentator, working with JR, lesser extent McMahon and Cole. I hate to work because I know his heel works so well. But yeah, Jesse Ventura just made a career out of being
an asshole.
Pretty much. Which he's still doing, technically.
Jesse, the Governor Ventura.
Conspiracy theorist Ventura.
True TV.
Alright, that's two for the body.
Three for the body.
Okay, three for the body. And finally, the Fabulous Freebirds versus Sergeant Slaughter. Oh my god.
Oh shit.
Aw, crap.
God, I love Sarge. This is hard, because again, we're having to splice out different iterations here. I mean, here's the thing. Looking back on it, his heel run where he was an Iraqi sympathizer didn't work. But at the time, as a kid watching that, as a kid who knew G.I. Joe, watching that, that was such a moment of betrayal. That was such a good, like, just wrench my heart out kind of moment.
Typical 80s booking.
Typical 80s booking, but almost in a sense it was, success. I mean, it's the prototype for Hollywood Hogan. Because you turn someone whose character is absolutely not a villain and you have him side with the villain.
Yeah, get away from General Adnan.
God, when Sarge wanted to be a heel, he was such a good ass. I'm going to admit, this might be a little bit of an 80s cartoon loyalist in me, but I am going to go with Slaughter.
Mike.
I mean, it's the same way. I'm sorry, I'm with Omega on this one. It's like, G.I. Joe, yo, turn to the dark side! Someone beat the dark side out of
him. I think because we know G.I. Joe, we view him as a bigger heel.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like being a kid in the 80s made that more damaging than just being a normal wrestling fan.
It was just like, oh my gosh, what is he doing? No! No! We need a new American hero.
He's joined Cobra.
Right.
Tim?
Yeah, problem I have with Sergeant Slaughter's heel run is it was too forced. It was, like the whole Rocky thing. It made zero sense, and it was only done for the shock factor. And then after the whole thing was over and done with, I want my country back. Whatever, fuck. The Fabulous Freebirds are the group that gave us the Freebird rule. They were dicks. Absolute, total dicks. And it wasn't the case of, shock and awe. And, okay, yeah, it's cool to hate you because I love to hate you. But can you be a good guy again? It's like, you bastards. How dare you? These guys were heels on a level where it's almost surprising that one of them didn't get stabbed with a pencil on the way to the ring. So even though they're not going to move on because of you two guys, my vote was my vote's for the Fabulous Freebirds.
See, didn't grow up in the 80s, didn't hurt him as much.
You can
take this personally.
You can follow more along with the all-time greatest at WrestleTalkRadio.com. Now before we go, what is the dumbest dirt sheet headline of the week?
It is this week's dumbest dirt sheet headlines. Jerry Lawler reveals how he scored Paige's phone number. Rainmaker Kazuchika Okada wrestles in actual rain. Seth Rogen believes he looks nothing like Sami Zayn. Which is the dumbest? It is up to you to decide.
Okay, next time you do this thing here, seeing as this is a new segment you're debuting, get rid of the reverb and echo because I couldn't understand the fucking guy.
It was Australian too.
Yeah, going through a reverb echo.
Yeah, I know. I was doing something there. Anyway.
Yeah, well, you failed.
Jerry Lawler gets Paige's phone number, reveals how he got it. Kazuchika Okada wrestles in the rain, being the Rainmaker. And Seth Rogen as it said, believes he's doesn't look anything like Sami Zayn, which is the dumbest one.
Seth Rogen doesn't look anything like Sami Zayn. No shit! Just take a look at yourself.
No, giving this one to Lawler and Paige's number. Right. Ask her.
Hey, Paige, can I have your number? Yeah, Jerry, here. Give me a call.
You work together. That's not exactly a big deal anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could, thank you for taking the high road on that, by the way.
And that's our show.
Everybody on the WWE roster got Paige's number just by asking. No, he didn't.
At Flames Forums.
No, at Voice Insanity on Twitter. That's my uncensored, no holds barred, I'm going to tell it the way it is Twitter account. So follow me on that one as well as at Flames Forum. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the immediately following Raw show.
Raw post show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
You suck. Fortnite gets played sometimes, so tune into twitch.tv/rockradioshow and watch. Wait a minute.
Wrong.
What is it?
He doesn't follow along with the product, Omega.
Yeah, no, it's kind of weird.
I mean, he's not even plugging it. It's on twitch.tv/WTRLive, which is hosted on wildtalkradio.com. I mean, that's just a thing. He just doesn't follow along with the product.
You see what I did there? There. Now you got it plugged in. Are you playing on Tuesday? Oh, hell, you're probably playing tomorrow night after the Raw Post Show.
No comment. Anyway.
And Tuesday. And Wednesday. And Friday.
Keep going.
And during the day on Saturday. And maybe even next Sunday. Oh, next Sunday is Canada Day, by the way. So if I'm not here, I'm not here, but I might be here. Whatever. Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern. Another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show with your host, Lindsay Ward.
It is our six-year show, so we need your questions. Submit them for hashtag AskTheRack to contact@rackradioshow.com, where you tweet them at WildTalkRadio or at Rack Radio Show. Looking for some questions, we're going to answer your questions on the show, because that's the thing we do. Plus, we'll have the SmackDown Throwdown, the NXT Rundown, and all the news you can handle at The Rack every Thursday night. 10 p.m. Eastern is Rock Radio Show on the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Instagrams, the Stitchers, the iTunes, the Google Plays. You know the old RockRadioShow.com. Check out the Rock Extra Reviews, Total Bellas Season 3, Episode 5, now available. Episode 6, available on Wednesday.
And then, of course, Saturday night's midnight-ish, or as close as you can get to it, another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Unusual. It was 1980-something. CB Radio Show.
Okay. It's CB Radio Live on Facebook, on the Twitters.com as well. Check out last night's episode where we did soccer players because World Cup. Basically, Lone Jobber butchers some names. This week, we're doing something I forget. So check it out Saturday night's midnight-ish. GreaterTheGreatDebate.com, CBRadioLive.com.
And, of course, next Sunday night, another edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. We'll talk stuff.
At WTR Sunday on the Facebook and the Twitters.
Yeah. There's more plugs. Let's see. At Wild Talk Radio, Wild Talk Radio Network on the Facebooks, groups/Wild Talk Radio Network as well. And you've already got my two Twitters. I mean, seriously, if you're not following, follow, because I've been getting some really heated conversations lately. You don't want to miss the train wreck. I'm done plugging for the time being. Omega's everywhere else on the internet, though.
Yeah, I try to make myself fairly simple to find. I try to keep it under one name. Unless
good luck.
Yeah. A bunch of people think people are assholes online. Take your name. So rude of them. Like the guy over on Facebook, so I have to be TJ Reviews over there. But everywhere else, you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel, which is currently under hiatus, but still has a ton of content on there to go watch. And for the stuff YouTube doesn't want you to see, it is tjomega.net.
While it's on hiatus, it's Fortnite with friends.
Yeah, helps me unwind.
There you go. All right, Rafael Pitali.
Oh, dear God, you're not going to get that right. All right, guys, anybody who wants to hit me on the Twitter page, you can hit me, TheWTROreo. Jesus Christ, I think I need to change that. Hit me up on the on the Facebook page. I'm doing a thing this week. Apparently another WWE 2K18 universe is challenging my universe. So be sure to get that on this Friday. It will be, the Facebook is called Dragon Honor Wrestling. So hopefully you guys watch out and enjoy that. Yeah, we got weekly shows. So yeah, watch and stay tuned.
Mike, you know what I just realized?
What?
It was at least 5 years ago where I first called you on the WTR Oreo, and it stuck.
Oh, crap.
You adopted it, man. I wasn't expecting it, but I feel honored. Thank you very much.
Yep.
There you go. All right, everybody. Have yourselves a great week. Catch you next Sunday night right here on WTR.
WildTalkRadio.com.